Welcome to the What Makes a Leader podcast, investigating the connection between leadership, emotional intelligence, and mindfulness. We talk with thought leaders from a range of backgrounds and disciplines, each of whom offers their wisdom, knowledge, and experience to deepen our understanding of what makes a leader. Hello, and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Hanuman Goldman, and I'm here today with Dawa Tarchin Phillips, the CEO of Empowerment Holdings, a mindful leadership development company, and co-founder and director of education for the Center of Mindfulness and Human Potential at the University of California, Santa Barbara. You're also the co-founder and co-host of the Mindful Leadership Online Training Conference, a new global learning platform for all things mindful leadership. Dawa, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you, Hanuman. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, always a pleasure. The format of this podcast is quite simple. It starts with the real basic question about leadership. I've heard so much about leadership, and we work a lot with leadership at More Than Sound, Keystep, and I see it in everything from your college application processes to hiring at businesses, and people talk about how important it is. And I want to bring the conversation a step back and really explore what is it that we're talking about when we use the word leadership. So I'll start with a real simple question that can lead anywhere you'd like, really. The question is, what is leadership? What does leadership mean to you?
Leadership is about effectively addressing some fundamental realities of life. Usually, the need for leadership arises out of either a vision for an outcome that an individual or a group of individuals wish to achieve, or it arises out of the need to address changing circumstances that are requiring us to adapt and to find new solutions to old problems that we're facing as human beings. Again, either as individuals or as a group of individuals, what we call a community or an institution or an organization. And so leadership really is something that we're all called into again and again due to simply being human beings in a changing, transforming environment. And so it involves both the way that we show up for ourselves and the way that we guide ourselves to become effective human beings, ideally able to survive and, in the best case scenario, able to thrive within the world in which we find ourselves. But it can go further than that. As our capacities develop, as we become more clear in our thinking and in our behavior, and we're able to figure out this thing called being human a little further, we're actually able to inspire others and to help others direct their own lives in better ways, in more skillful ways, and we're able to help communities and organizations achieve important goals and outcomes. So there are different levels to it, some that are really important for ourselves in order to maintain our own equilibrium and direct our own lives, and then other qualities that are clearly about showing up in the world, showing up for our communities, showing up for our families, showing up for our organizations as an influencer and as someone that can help lead a group of people towards a desired outcome.
As you laid out, this is what leadership is. Why would you say that leadership is important?
At the height of the Cold War, the Army College came up with a term called VUCA. That stood for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity, which are elements of present moment reality that we're all experiencing and that we're all trying to navigate effectively. And within that reality, we're trying to organize our lives in a way that becomes not only sustainable, but actually happy and empowered and meaningful, etc. And so leadership is important because it is the way that we're able to take the qualities that ripen in an individual through education, through training, through maturity, and utilize those for the greater good of society and for the greater good of the community. We're able to model ourselves and our community based on human experience based on wisdom, based on compassion, based on maturity and understanding in the ideal case. You know, not often, not always are leaders only the ones that are the wisest or the most experienced or the clearest. Sometimes leaders come into power who actually lack a lot of experience and lack a lot of clarity. But regardless, in most cases, leaders are selected because in some way they are able to access their own potential to bring out beneficial results for the greater good, whether that's the greater good of an organization or the greater good of a community. And so I think we need leadership because we want to benefit from the experience and the maturity that individuals have developed in themselves, and to bring these qualities to greater fruition and benefit for all of us, for the rest of us, and not lose also, you know, not lose these qualities as we go from one generation to the next, but rather pass the torch so that future leaders can hopefully be even better leaders than past leaders. Yeah, we have this saying that future generations should, in the ideal case, always outlead and outshine and outperform past generations. And I think if we understand leadership is not the cultivation of followers, but the cultivation of future leaders, then actually I think we can achieve that, because we are working towards assuring that those who come after us are even better equipped to deal with life's challenges than we are.
There's an aspect of leadership that you're highlighting here that is the passing of wisdom into the future.
The passing of wisdom, but also the passing of skill and the passing of capacity and capability. I think that at least the leaders that I have come to value and respect and appreciate are really people that have taken time to develop their own capacity and their own capability and skills, and are able to put them to use in a way that inspires and in a way that motivates and in a way that is accountable and responsible. And so that itself becomes somewhat of a role model in the world, where others can get some orientation and get some guidance and some inspiration about how they might wish to lead their own lives.
There are some very effective and wise and skillful leaders who are not old. They have these qualities perhaps inherently, or perhaps they worked on them when they were quite young. But I wonder how you see the development of leadership qualities happening. If I want to become a good leader, what should I do, Dawa?
I don't think these leadership qualities are in any way bound to age. At the same time, seeing how my own life develops through each decade, I do believe certain life experiences contribute to one's ability to be an effective leader. But leadership qualities show up in all ages. They show up even the way that certain children behave in the kindergarten, and they certainly make for some incredible youth leaders. And there's wonderful leaders among the millennials, among the Generation X, among the boomers, and among retirees. So I don't think that leadership qualities necessarily are age-bound. They are really the qualities of the mind and the qualities of the heart and the skillful ability, let's say, to communicate a clear vision and to maintain focus on execution and maybe even plan and strategize a way toward that execution. So these skills are ageless, they are timeless. And that's maybe also the key to how someone becomes a good leader. It's really about beginning to, in one's own life, to relate to some of those ageless, timeless principles, and recognizing that these are principles that have stood the test of time and that are beneficial to us as an individual, regardless of what circumstance we find ourselves in, and that are beneficial for an organization as well, regardless of what condition or state the organization finds itself in, because these are timeless principles of good, effective leadership. So these areas, also we sometimes call them core competencies, or success principles, or principles of self-awareness or of cognitive high performance or effective decision-making. The wonderful thing is that they are universal. They're increasingly evidence-based. They're increasingly carefully researched and then well reported upon. There are some fantastic resources out there by authors who write on this, such as myself, but also, you know, many of the authors that you at More Than Sound are featuring. And so the first step really that I have found the most important thing for leaders is to actually aspire to lead and aspire to live a bigger life, to leave a more significant contribution in the world, and basically to activate the heart of leadership, the heart of courage, the willingness to step outside of one's comfort zone in order to be of greater benefit and of greater service toward one's immediate surroundings, whether that is one's family or one's friends, one's relatives, then towards one's community, and finally towards society, whether that is through business or through education, through government, even through maybe military service. The leadership arises out of an internal aspiration to make a contribution and to be of benefit. And then it's about developing skills in the service of that intention.
You founded and co-host the Mindful Leadership Online Training Conference that will be happening next month in a few weeks. I'd like to ask you also about this idea of mindful leadership and hear from you what that means to you.
Mindful leadership is such an exciting area because it's the evolution of 150 years of leadership research, of us trying to understand what exactly is the situation the leader finds themselves in and how does she or he maintain access to their own inner resources and their experience, their education, their training when it is the most needed, at the point of need, which is actually based on the situational awareness that a leader can maintain and the ability to then repeatedly and accurately access mental clarity, emotional stability, communication skills, and execution skills in order to be an effective leader. And what the evolution of leadership has shown is that increasingly it's about not so much how effective the leader is to push everyone towards an imagined future, but how effective the leader is in maintaining what we call leadership presence, a open, clear, present state of awareness and emotional intelligence, social intelligence, self-awareness, social awareness. And in that open, present state, then is able to make effective decisions. And what is so exciting about mindful leadership is that mindfulness practices and compassion practices actually serve the leader to cultivate this leadership presence. And this leadership presence, then we have found, is the foundation for what we call leadership excellence or high-performing leadership, high-performing human presence and human execution. So we really have arrived at this threshold of mindful leadership in science, not only in the psychological and brain sciences, but also in physics and in medicine and in other important areas of science. We are realizing that the next frontier of our evolution is not the future, but it is actually this present moment and how we are able to unfold the potential of this present moment. And mindful leadership puts the leader in the driver's seat of that process. And so that is why we focus on creating this event to really give as many leaders as possible during these important times and uncertain times access to these tools so that we can have more leaders highly equipped and well trained in order to be able to help transform this present moment experience into one that actually reflects our best thinking and not just a continuation of past mistakes on the way to a better future that actually brings with it a tremendous amount of collateral damage. What we have seen is that a lot of our attempts to improve life on this planet and improve the downline or the bottom line of our organizations has led to unwanted consequences, whether those are unwanted consequences for our own people or these are unwanted consequences for the environment or for our society, for employment in our society, for education and healthcare in our society. And in order to reduce these unwanted consequences, we have to become more clear about how, as leaders, we actually lead ourselves and organization and our organizations in a way that includes greater self-awareness and a greater awareness of the ecosystem in which we function. And all of that is included in this simple word, mindful leadership. But what we're actually talking about is a more conscious leader, a more awake leader that has a better understanding of the interdependence of the individual, the organization, and the environment, and is able to perform their leadership function from that heightened place of self-awareness. You can tell I'm excited and passionate about it, not only about the event, but truthfully about the amount of leaders that are showing up for this event and other events that are listening to podcasts like this and that actually carry this seed of this new archetype, you can say, of leadership already within themselves. I'm excited about some of the youth organizations that I've seen springing up on social media, you know, teenagers who are organizing themselves around this new understanding of a more conscious form of leadership. And that is, to me, is really exciting and is a sign of the times. And that also is included in this term of mindful leadership.
Well, that's beautiful, Dawa. Thank you for that. Sounds like the Mindful Leadership Conference, the online conference that you're hosting on March 1st through 10th, will be a really important contribution to this effort. So thank you for that, and thanks again for joining me here today.
Yeah, we have about 40 of the world's leading experts on mindful leadership, authors, researchers, teachers, entrepreneurs, government leaders who are all participating and offering their insight, their wisdom, their experience, and their training suggestions and expertise on this event. So it's really a fantastic event. It's completely free for people to participate in. And so we really hope it's a generous contribution to the conversation of how to prepare leaders for the 21st century.
For more audio, books, and videos on emotional intelligence and leadership, visit us at morethansound.net.